All right, welcome to the L. Nelson Bell Bible Class, and we continue in our study of the book of 1 Samuel, and today we're in chapter 26. We'll be looking at verses 6 through 12 along with some other scriptures. But before we get into that, let's come to the Lord and ask for His guidance as we study His Word. Let us pray. Father, how wonderful to have one day in seven to set apart, to come and worship You, to stop all other pursuits, and to once again acknowledge publicly that You are Lord of all, and that we are Your people, not by any merit of our own, but by the grace of Jesus Christ, we have been saved, we are being sanctified, and we desire to honor You as our Heavenly Father. Help us now to learn from this Your Word, the truth that You have, that Your Holy Spirit will apply into our own particular lives, that this week will be different because we have met with You, we have communed with You, we've learned from You, and we're being changed by You. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Today we're going to be talking about a recurrent problem. This is in 1 Samuel chapter 26. And right out the beginning, the very start, I want to affirm that Christians do have recurrent problems. Sometimes we get this image in our minds. I think it's from the same little whisper that told us that life was supposed to be fair when we were little. And only as we grow up, we realize that's not true. But here we sometimes tend to think that if we're really good Christians, we're going to deal with a problem and it's over with and gone and we won't have to worry about it anymore. And it's just not true. It's not our experience. It's not what we find in Scripture. And so today we're going to be learning about how to deal with recurrent problems. Now, this is not always. Sometimes you and I are faced with something and we wrestle with the Lord in prayer about it. And lo and behold, the next day, things are taken care of. It's almost instantaneous, and that's wonderful. And it doesn't come back. Celebrate that. Enjoy it. But we also know there are other things that do recur. Sometimes it's a bad habit. Sometimes it's an old attitude that just continues to pop back into our minds and hearts. Sometimes it's particular people that we thought we'd dealt with and we had peace with, and whoa, no, I guess we've got to deal with this yet again. They keep showing up. What do you do with these recurrent situations? We wrestle with them. We fight with them, whether it's an interior fight in our own hearts and lives or whether it's actually with another person in our life sphere. We deal with them and they go away. It's resolved. There's peace. But only for a little while. And then it's back again. And you and I have a reaction, oh, good grief, I've already done this. I thought this was settled. Here we go again. Well, here is David with his recurrent problem, and I think you've already guessed that it is in the person of King Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 26, verses 6 through 12. Then David said to Ahimelech the Hittite and to Joab's brother Abishai the son of Zeruiah, "Who will go down with me into the camp to Saul?" And Abishai said, "I will go down with you." So David and Abishai went to the army by night. And there lay Saul sleeping within the encampment with his spear stuck in the ground at his head, and Abner and the army lay around him. Then said Abishai to David, "God has given your enemy into your hand this day. Now, please let me pin him to the earth with one stroke of the spear, and I will not strike him twice." But David said to Abishai, "Do not destroy him, for who can put out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" And David said, "As the Lord lives, the Lord will strike him, or his day will come to die, or he will go down into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should put out my hand against the Lord's anointed. But take now the spear that is at his head and the jar of water, and let us go. So David took the spear and the jar of water from Saul's head, and they went away. No man saw it or knew it, nor did any awake, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord had fallen upon them. A recurrent problem. This is not the first time that Saul has come out chasing after David with the sole purpose of killing him. Not to capture him, not to take him somewhere else, not to punish him, to kill him. That's Saul's whole motivation and purpose. Now, if you go back in these lessons, you remember, just a little bit back before, there was the cave, remember? David was in there. Saul came in to use it for himself. David slipped in and cut the edge of his robe, but he said, no, I can't strike him. He is God's anointed. I have to respect the authority. And we talked a lot about authority that Sunday. Well, here we are again. We're not in the cave, but Saul has come out with all of his army to capture David and not only the 600 men, but apparently there are wives and children at some point that join David. We'll come into that in a subsequent chapter. And they're in an open field ready for battle. So there is Saul again, and David once more is having to deal with this problem in his life of a man who wants to kill him. Well, it's not the first time. If you remember the cave, it's not the second time. If I've counted correctly, now that's not always possible, but I think I did this time. This is the eighth time since David has been in Saul's presence that Saul has tried to kill him. It goes all the way to back when David was playing the harp to soothe Saul and the evil spirit came upon him. He took a spear and tried to throw it at David and spear him against the wall. From that time until this, eight times, Saul has broken his word. I will not kill David. I will not come after him. I am so sorry. Forgive me. I have sinned. And here is the eighth time. We've gone way beyond the question to Jesus, how often should I forgive my enemy? Seven times? No, 77. Here we've got up to eight with David and Saul, his recurrent problem. And I think we are human enough, and David was human enough, we can identify with what's going on in his heart. After the second or third time, he's got to be thinking, oh, good grief. Come on, God, what, you've anointed me king. I'm not going to raise my arm against this man, but he's chasing me all over the countryside. There's no peace. And yet, here is Saul again. Now, there's several things that David does that I want to emphasize for you and me, and they're a great understanding of how to deal with a recurrent problem in our lives. There are three steps that David takes in this situation with Saul. First of all, he is sure to identify his enemy and the problem at hand. For you and me, it does no good to struggle and wrestle with God when we're not exactly sure what it is that's causing the problem. David is going to make sure that this really is Saul. It's not some impersonator, not somebody Saul has hired to come out against him. So he goes down. Now, for you and me, again, often these recurrent problems are inside us. They're not something you can poke or touch, but their attitudes, their feelings, their emotions that are not honor and they're not worthy of a child of God. And it's hard at times to identify, what is it that is upsetting me? What is it that is making me so defensive, that is wearing me down, that's chasing me around, that's ruling my life? We've got to identify what that is. And it helps if you have a friend that you can talk with about this. And we've mentioned this before, how in the Christian life it's so important to have at least one other person you can totally confide in. It will stay with them. They're not going to tell anybody else. They are good listeners. They are going to help verify if this is something that really needs to be dealt with in your life or if you've just made it up and there's something else that's the real problem. David does not go down by himself into Saul's camp, either to do him in or to prove that he had power over him. We'll get to that too. He takes Abishai with him, another warrior. They obviously can verify, no, this is definitely Saul. There's Abner asleep. And they had to be aware of the fact this is not a normal sleep. We're told that at the very end of the passage. God himself had caused the whole army to have a heavy sleep upon it, so it was not difficult for them to slip in. It sounds like they even had a conversation over the sleeping body of Saul. And then they take the spear and the jug of water and head out. Nobody hears them or sees them. Well, that's because God has put this heavy sleep on the army. And yet David wasn't going to kill him. Abishai knew that from the cave, so Abishai says, let me do it. David says, no, we're not going to do that. He is God's anointed, but let's show to Saul that we've been here. In other words, we have power over him. We could have taken his life. We need him to know that. So they take the proof that they'd been there and leave. They have shown that God has given them power over Saul. And in the same way, you and I, with our current problems, need to show that problem or that person that we actually have power over them, over it. It is not the one controlling us. And that is because Jesus Christ gives you power to control your own life and your own heart. This is very important. When we give our lives to Christ, he becomes Lord of all that we think and act and do. He is the one who is in control, and there is no power greater than that power. So with Jesus Christ in our lives and our hearts, if there is something inside us that is troubling us, a recurrent problem, something that has shown up again, if it's another person who is taking away our freedom, taking away our understanding of peace in life, it has to be shown, they have to be shown, you are not in control over me. God is in control of me, and he allows me to live my life to the fullest, being the person that I am. Quit bothering me. Our battles are so often inward, and God knows this. And throughout the New Testament, over and over again, we are told by Paul and others in the letters, the epistles, as well as in the Gospels themselves, the Holy Spirit is within us. We have a source of power that was not available to everyday people before the time of Christ. The Holy Spirit came at moments into individuals' lives, but then departed. It was a come and go situation, and only for a few people that we know of. Since Christ came, and we've accepted him into our hearts and lives, we have the Spirit of God dwelling inside of us. And that's the source of our power, and that's what we use to overcome those recurrent problems, to become at peace with them, and to let them know, you are not going to rule my life. God is the only one who rules my life. Jesus Christ and his Spirit are within me. You are not the one driving this situation. And it's not just me, but God is within me as his adopted child. Be sure to identify the problem. Have somebody help you do that. Prove, show that God has given you power over that situation, particularly when it's a recurrent problem. Oh, I know you. You've been here before. This thought, this telling me that I'm not worth anything, this telling me, reminding me of past errors and bad judgments. Oh, I know who you are, and you're not from God. You're being used by Satan to try to trouble me and make me feel guilty when I don't need to. I'm done with you. Out. I have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't have to worry about that anymore. I'm going to live my life with him. And when it's an individual, you can simply show them mercy when it's not deserved, and forgiveness. We don't have time to read through the whole chapter, but it resolves in, once again, Saul saying, David, my son, You are in the right, I am in the wrong. May God bless you. He actually says that. May God bless you in what you do. And Saul leaves. Now, maybe we're not able to achieve peace with that person. Maybe they're not going to act like Saul did in understanding that they've got no business coming after you or me. That doesn't matter. What matters is that we know we are in control. They are not. And it doesn't mean we need to seek them out, but if they insert themselves into our lives, again, we can say, you don't have control over me. I'm sorry you feel this way, but this is the way I'm living my life. And if you have a friend with you, that friend verifies it as well. The third thing that David does is he makes peace with the person. And for you and me, it's often with the power. You make peace with that recurrent problem. You have nothing to gain by troubling me. You can say that to your own inner attitudes and habits. You can say that to an individual. You have nothing to gain by troubling me. Leave me alone. I have not offended you. If I have, I am sorry. Forgive me, but leave me alone. And when that's done in the power of Jesus Christ, things change. God will see you through. God will see you through. Since God is within me, I will not give in to you. Leave me alone. A recurrent problem, the three steps to take with it that are useful to you and me. And here is the beauty of it all. At some point in time, the problem or the person will go away and stay away. Over and done. That is the good news. It may be after a day. It may be after a week. In some situations, it may take a lifetime of struggling with it. But know there will be a day when it's over and done, and you will not struggle with that problem ever again. Christ is the one who gives us the victory again and again and again. And of course, there will be new problems, new enemies that show up as we continue to live our lives. It does not matter. Christ is sufficient in every one of those situations to give us victory and to have power over it, because it's in His power we are dealing with it, not in our own determination. God will see you through until that problem is resolved. And I hope you got it as I read this. In David's own words, he said, God is going to deal with him. Whether he is going to have an illness and it's going to take him out, whether the natural course of life comes and he dies a natural death, or if an enemy kills him in battle, God will deal with him. He will be gone. Well, we know the rest of the story as we get to the end of 1 Samuel that Saul does get killed in battle by the Philistines, and David's problem is resolved. And he's still got a lot of life to live. There comes a point when God is going to resolve all of this, and we're not going to have to struggle with it anymore. But until then, we don't give up. We don't ever become victims. We're the victors, because in Jesus Christ, we address this, we deal with it, and we move on. Now, there are a lot of New Testament passages about this. I'm just going to give three particularly this morning that talk about it. The first is in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 18. We've read this before. You cannot be assured of it too often. Jesus came and said to his disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Let that sink into your heart and mind. Write it down if you need to. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So when we belong to Him, we have His authority at our disposal. Authority over our enemies. And we've talked in the past how our enemies most often are not flesh and blood, but they're spiritual powers. powers of darkness, authorities, rulers, not flesh and blood. Those are our enemies, and Christ has authority over them, and we can fight those inner battles, and we will prevail. The second one is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 9. Paul had an amazing career, and he is writing to the Corinthian church, and he's sharing something that has been intensely personal about his relationship with God in a special revelation, an out-of-the-body experience taken into the third heaven to hear and see things that are of eternal truth and value. But there's a downside to that. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 7. So, to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me. Now, that sounds like an enemy to me. How about you? A messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me, but he said to me, get it? My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. My power is made perfect in weakness. You come to me, and I will give you the power you need to overcome whatever it is that is continually troubling you. Whether it was Paul's thorn in the flesh, or those invisible enemies that we have within ourselves, or even if it's a visible, tangible flesh and blood person, God will give us the power because he is the one who has the strength, not us. And that's where the emphasis must come. And then finally in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, you know this, I know. Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, all those who have trusted in God in years and ages past, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance, the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Do you understand? Jesus Christ had recurrent problems in his life too. One of the main ones was his poor disciples just didn't get it. Over and over, he's trying to tell them what's going to happen. They just don't get it, and it grieves him. But you and I are to endure as he endured. Whatever difficulties may be down that path, we continue to fight against those recurrent enemies and problems and continue to have success in the power of Jesus Christ as we live a life for him. And the one thing that David didn't really understand, he couldn't have because Christ hadn't come, but you and I do, even in the midst of the battle, there is joy because we know who is in control, and it's not us. Ultimately, it's God. It's Christ. And we know all authority and power is given to him. So there can be joy even in the midst of the fight. Lord, I've done it again. Lord, this enemy is back. I need your help again. I'm so sorry to bother you, but here it is. We're not bothering him. He's got all the time in the world for every one of us and all the strength that every one of us needs every minute of our lives because he is God. He's not like us. We're like him to a certain degree. But he is the one who has all the power. He is the one who made us. He is the one who understands what's there inside. So when we have those recurrent problems, we go to Jesus again and again and again. And we look for that Christian friend that will help us walk through that again and again and again. And we claim the victory through Christ, not in our willpower, not in our self-control, but by the gift of God to us. That's the way to deal with these recurrent problems. It's what David did. And God has allowed it to be recorded so you and I can learn from it today and use the truth of all of Scripture to be victors in Jesus Christ. The hymn, this is an old gospel tune that I love all the way back into my childhood. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. Through days of toil, when heart doth fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you. All you may need, he will provide. God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean, weary one, and we do get weary, upon his breast. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you with your recurrent problems. Let's pray. Lord, we're very, very familiar with our own frailty. And at times, we really are embarrassed to come back to you and say, Lord, again, I need your help with this. Thank you for never growing tired. Thank you, you never give up on us. Thank you that your power is sufficient for us as we live this life for you. Oh Lord, give us the vision to see the end of all things and to receive assurance for that. Give us patience as we deal with these recurring things, and give us the victory in your power, not ours, that we can move on and we can continue to be in control of our lives and not allowing anyone else to be in control of us, because you are the one that we submit to totally and completely. Thank you, Lord, for the peace and the comfort this gives us. In Christ's name, amen.